Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
May I say one more time, that was an incredible win. That was an incredible amount of fun. But I think one thing that was showcased on Sunday is just how much of a problem Joe Flacco's become for the Browns.
The offense is basically, I mean, they were close to unwatchable. Like, there was 56 minutes of that game. And honestly, even the last minutes, like Darryl brought it up at 3:20, where it was like, you had goal line to go, basically. You're on the 1 yard line, and you ended up with third and goal from the 21. Like, they were bad to watch. It makes me want to tear my eyes out watching the Browns offense operate.
So I guess my thing is with, and it continues to be like a catch 22. When the offensive line does their job, Joe doesn't trust them. When Joe does his job, nobody can catch the ball, right? Like, the big glimmer of hope that you saw in this game was Quinshon Judkins had a breakout performance. And there does seem to be, from his side of things, he seems to be built for this level in a way that, I'll be honest with you, he's better than I expected at this point in his career. That said, you cannot let this, like, I can't believe they let Joe go out there in the second half. He was actively passing up big plays that were on the field that were there, and everybody notices the Isaiah Bond one because it was so obvious. There were plenty of plays where Joe did something out of lack of trust in the offensive line, lack of maybe fear of Micah Parsons, where even if you give him the credit for, like, well, okay, he had to check out of that because Micah was going to come unabated off the line, it's like, yes, and he checked on 3rd and 7 into a, at best, was going to be a 2 or 3 yard run by Dylan Sampson. So they should have benched him yesterday. And I'm not here to say that Dylan Gabriel is the second coming. I think everybody listening knows how I feel about Dylan Gabriel. But I think one of the bigger problems that we haven't addressed is, let's just be real clear here. I said this on Friday. I said it multiple times last week. I've said it since the Cincinnati game. They're not running an offense for Joe Flacco. They're not. There's not a lot of opportunities deep down the field. His style of play is not being represented in what he likes to do. As a matter of fact, he's being asked to hold it in and rein it in and don't make mistakes. And he's making decisions in terms of audibles in that name. He's keeping it conservative in that name. That's in his head. And he doesn't trust the offensive line. And you've got this, that, and the other. And oh, by the way, physically, he looks washed. He looks like he can't move. And you cannot have an immobile quarterback that is bypassing big plays down the field when he actually does get them, not trusting his offensive line, and he can't move. So the things that I think Dylan Gabriel could do better or more effectively, one, this is built for him. It's the short passing game. It's get the ball out quickly, which can negate the offensive line issue. Two, if the read isn't there, he can move. So while I am not here to tell you that I think long-term, I think Dylan Gabriel has this immense ability to change the scope of where you're going to go with this, Darryl in the previous segment, 3:20, when we interviewed him, said, that he believes going to Dylan Gabriel represents a valuation. And he said, how can you sell that to the locker room? And then he says, Joe gives you the best chance to win. Every one of those things is a generality. Every one of those things are the things that why Dylan couldn't have started week one. We're now going on to week four. And I have a sinking suspicion that if you had put Dylan Gabriel in the second half, even against that very loaded Green Bay defense, I don't know you need the final 4 minutes to win that game. I think you might have been more competitive throughout the second half.
Nick, I said it on Tuesday leading into this game. I was already done with Joe. And it wasn't even necessarily a direct product of what Joe's done, because I think I agree with most of what you just said, right? Like, I think he's washed physically. I think the offense is built for a guy more like Dylan Gabriel, less like Joe. But sure, you don't trust the offensive line. And I'll be honest, they haven't given you a ton of reason to trust the offensive line. Like, they have been bad so far. It's also, okay, well, the main reason you were holding on was, well, the run game hasn't been good. And if Joe's going to be successful in the pass game, it has to come off the run game because they love play action, bootleg, and you have to be committed to stopping the run if that's actually going to work. The run game worked on Sunday, and Joe still looked bad. Like, mm-hmm. It still did not stop anything, whether it was the Packers defense or whether, you know, you play the Dolphins defense coming up a week, which is just Swiss cheese. It's like, it still does not work when you're able to run the ball. The Browns trying to win games. Like, I just disagree flat out with what Daryl said, where it's Joe gives you a better chance to win. I think Joe's the better quarterback. Talent-wise, Joe is the better quarterback. I think in this offense, everything that they want to do, Dylan pretty much does better than Joe or does on the same level as Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I think even like in terms of reads, like no one's saying Joe Flacco can't read a defense.
Yeah.
But Joe's getting through three reads when he just needs to get the damn ball out quickly. And Joe is, and I think Joe is holding onto the ball longer because he's looking for those big plays, which makes it even more confounding when then again he turns around and bails on a play quickly. Again, like I just think like what the Browns want to do in this offense isn't what Joe's comfortable doing, and then you put him behind an offensive line that isn't playing well enough. Like I was flabbergasted when Stefanski said today we're sticking with Flacco. And I understand why. I do understand why you say it yesterday. And I even understand the idea of sticking with him momentarily. But the idea that they went in, and there was a report of the weekend that that Stefanski and Tommy Rees had a whole conversation early last week about benching Joe. I don't know how that other than you won. And you won through no help. I don't say no help, because Joe, he really managed the team going up to the line. He told, I think it was Harold Fannin Jr., he had to get on the line. Awesome. Cool. Great. You know what he didn't do? Make enough throws to win that damn game.
Like, I think if you look at the final play, right, where they have to get up to the line, they have to spike the ball, where you have minimal time to do it. Does Dylan Gabriel get that play off? I don't know. Like, I truthfully don't. That's a veteran quarterback and Joe getting everybody situated, knowing what they need to do. I don't know Dylan Gabriel can do that. I again, agree with you, though. I don't know that you're in that situation if Joe's not the quarterback. Like, right now, this team needs a spark on the offensive side. They need something. Even if that's just a change at quarterback, even if, you know, Dylan's not going to go out there and wow anybody, which I don't think that he is. That's not the type of quarterback he is. Any sort of change. Like, you can ask the question, right? What is putting Dylan Gabriel in do, and what does that say to the locker room? What does keeping Joe Flacco in say to the locker room right now?
Yeah, because to go back to the idea of who gives who the best chance to win, do you think those guys, after 3 weeks, do you really think that they think Joe gives them a chance to win? Not who gives you more of a chance to win. Do they think Joe gives them a chance to win? Not do they like Joe. Not, you know, do they view him as a mentor? Not like, I don't know how you can say yes. You won in spite of your quarterback, and you won in spite of your quarterback in a way that, listen, I think you're going to have to win in spite of Dylan Gabriel as well, because of the youth, because of his physical limitations. But what he does well is set up for this offense. What Joe does well is not. And it's apparent Joe is not feeling the confidence, the trust, whatever you think that he needs to, and it feels far-fetched to say that's just going to come one of these days.
Yeah, like I go back to what Coach Riz, Lance Riesland, always says, right? There's quarterbacks you can win with, and there's quarterbacks you can win because of. I don't think either of the two quarterbacks are quarterbacks you win because of. I do think, though, like, as much as I don't trust Dylan in the long term, I truthfully do look at him as a quarterback that if you're asking him to be a game manager, ask him to complete the short throws and move the move the offense in a quick operation, that's all he's done in his career. Like, it has to translate to the NFL level. We've seen it in preseason games, even when it hasn't been great and it hasn't been the prettiest thing in the world. He's gotten the offense moving. He's made sure he's made the short throws and has cut the disastrous turnovers down to one. Like, there's going to be those. Those are also there with Joe.
216-474-0092. Kevin Stefanski said he didn't consider benching Joe Flacco. Do you believe him? Jim in Strongsville, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
No, I agree with you guys. Like, I was at the game, and I'm watching. I was like, to me, it was like when you saw them put Joe Flacco back out there to start the fourth quarter, I was like, what are you telling your defense? What are you telling your team? I mean, Joe right now, no offense, if he gives them the best chance to win, then these guys must be horrible on the bench because he's not giving you anything. He's either giving you two turnovers that are practically defensive touchdowns, or he's giving you what he gave you yesterday where, honestly, Nick, I'm sitting up in the sticks. There were guys open down the field. Joe didn't throw to them. I don't know why. I don't know if he didn't see it. I don't know. Because everybody says, oh, no, this offense, he had to check that. He had time, and there were dudes breaking open down the field. That should be his bread and butter, Joe Flacco's bread and butter. If he's not giving you his bread and butter, if he's not giving you the reward of those big plays that he had a couple years ago for us, then the risk isn't worth it. What are we doing? If you want him to go out there and dink and dunk, my God, he's going to dink, dunk, and then I'm telling you, every other game he's going to have two horrible turnovers that you're going to be like, oh, my God, not only did he not win us the game, he lost us the game. So I think if you move to a new quarterback, you're actually telling your team that you're trying to win. I don't see what they saw over these first three games that would give these guys confidence that Joe Flacco is going to go out there and lead them to victory.
Jim, we got a boogie, buddy. Appreciate you. 216-474-0092. Kevin Stefanski said he didn't consider benching Joe Flacco. Do you believe him? We're going to continue on with that. You're going to hear Kevin Stefanski's logic for sticking with Joe Flacco. And something that I think isn't the defense of a quarterback change that you might think it is. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Well, hopefully, with a rookie, you wouldn't have to get there. Hopefully, with a rookie, you might be able to get on the board more. Hopefully, with a rookie, you wouldn't have to wait for Grant Delpit to intercept the dumbest pass of Jordan Love's career. I understand the value of the operational stuff with Joe Flacco. That doesn't, and I think it might for the Browns, but it shouldn't outweigh making plays. Like hitting the open receiver. And I understand the offensive line, specifically the tackles, are in a bad spot. How do you negate having a bad tackle situation? Have a quarterback who get the damn ball out quicker.
Yeah, I mean, we sit here and it's like people throw out, well, Joe gives him the best chance to win. How much better is it going to be with a rookie quarterback, if not worse? It's like, how does it get much worse? You've put up the scores of 16, 17, and 13, and the offense hasn't looked good while they've done it, and they've had to be set up by the defense, and the one win they've gotten to put up 13 points. Like, it can't be much. We have to stop acting like Joe Flacco is, well, he's doing everything right and that, you know, everything's failing around him. I'm not saying everything's great around him, but he's also making his own mistakes as well.
Yeah, and the kind of mistakes, to me, they're the kind of mistakes that hold back a team. And it's when you don't trust your offensive line. He shouldn't, by the way. But you have to think past that if you're a quarterback. It is not playing within yourself. He's not. He's passing up passes. Or sorry, he's foregoing passes we saw him make with ease 2 years ago. And so that's the kind of stuff that the only way that gets done, guys, is by playing for the next 4 or 5 weeks and having something change. Well, what's easier to change? All your offensive tackles or a 40-year-old quarterback you didn't intend to play for the full season anyways? Like, we are getting awfully close to, if you don't hand this off to Joe at the right time, you're going to cost yourself more wins and maybe put that rookie in a worse position. And I really think, like, right now, they've got a team that's fighting for every victory that believes they can win. If you don't believe in your quarterback, that's the fastest way to stop believing that you can win.
It feels like to me, like they're operating this entire situation with like kid gloves, basically, for Dylan Gabriel. Like, we've talked to you about the computer processing power and how great he, you know, can read a team where if we throw him out against, you know, a Packers defense, or I don't think the Lions defense is that great, but like Aiden Hutchinson's on the other side, he's going to pressure the quarterback. He's going to force Dylan into quick throws, probably even quicker than he wants to make, where if Dylan comes out and looks bad, well, they don't look so smart. And in that exact given week, you might hurt his confidence. But again, if the season is truly about winning, you
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim. This is incredible.
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go. This time for real.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Ever walked past a place for rent and wish you could just peek inside? Maybe even explore the layout? Envision the natural light streaming through the windows? Or plan where your vinyl record collection would go? At Apartments.com, you can. With tools like their 3D virtual tours, you can see the exact unit you'd be living in. Really envision yourself in your new home with Apartments.com. The place to find a place. I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what have you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com to start now.
You can't tell me you've watched the offense operate for 3 weeks and think, yeah, this is getting much better and this is going to lead to wins.
Yeah, like, the first box you have to check is, does the offense give you a chance to win? And you cannot say, does the quarterback give you a chance to win? You can't say that with Joe yesterday. You sure can't say that with Joe 2 weeks ago. And I get this sense that the idea is, well, but it's just such a tough game. It's just such a tough game. Once you're in the middle of the game, nobody's thinking about that. All anyone's thinking is, are we having any sort of success? So maybe Kevin was right to say, well, going into Detroit, but yeah, Kevin already missed the easiest opportunity to see what Dylan had. Even if it was in the third quarter, once you got to the fourth quarter, it felt like it was 100-10. Or sorry, 100-0, not 10-0. And Kevin got lucky. Joe got lucky. They won that game because the defense made a timely play and then special teams cleaned it up. But the other part of this that I'm starting to feel comfortable with a rookie, be it Dylan, be it Shador. We know it's going to be Dylan first, but I'd feel comfortable go to either rookie in the near future is I think you've stumbled upon how you're going to win with Quinshon Judkins. I think that engine is getting closer and closer. And now, to make sure opposing defenses don't shut him down, you just need to make a bare amount of plays. And by the way, it's not just down the field plays, although those help. No, just have these long, successful drives that when you need a throw, your quarterback can make them. And Joe was, he had a couple misses yesterday. They were telling you he's not feeling what he needs to feel to get anything done.
Yeah, the one that sticks out is obviously the Isaiah Bond miss on, I think it was third down, where he's wide open, still overthrows him. Like, he had to layer the throw, but it was still, Joe Flacco makes that throw, 9 times out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, if we're not talking about this year. I've seen him make that throw 20 times probably in a Browns uniform. Like, you can make those. It's just, Okay, so if you're not going to do it this week, and Kevin and all them are saying it's still Joe, you're going back to Joe Flacco for this week. It's like, if you're playing the protection game in my eyes, if you're protecting Dylan Gabriel, like, by the time you feel like he's in a good position to actually start, your season might just be over anyway, and it might feel more like you're waving the white flag than if you did it now. Like, are you going to start him going into London off of a time change, playing what is still a good Vikings defense, or for the first time in a Browns uniform going into Pittsburgh? And then again, by week seven, I mean, if this team walks out 1-5, your chances on the season, even your chances on going in, you know, putting 7 wins on the board and inspiring confidence for next year feel really low.
We got some calls on this, but 216-474-0092. Ronald saying on Twitter, at Nick Wilson says, so not having an O-line block is still Flacco's fault. No. You can have problems in front of Joe, but when Joe's not trusting the offensive line, and let's say he misses a wide-open receiver streaking across the field to do a check down, because of that, yes, that Joe's decision-making is part of this. No matter how valid his lack of trust in the offensive line is. And oh, by the way, some of these plays do take time to develop. The whole point of Dylan Gabriel versus Joe is how quickly, and again, I hate saying this because I don't believe in Dylan Gabriel physically as a quarterback, but do I think he could make that read a little quicker? Yes, because that's the one thing. That and his ability to move are the two things I might be able to sell you on with Dylan Gabriel. Let's go with Dan in Amherst. Welcome to the show, Dan. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. Well, I think I might have this figured out. I'm not sure. You know, Joe Flacco seems like a smart guy. He seems like he's intelligent. And I've been watching these guys play for over half a century, and wins are few and far between, so I don't want to sound like a Danny Downer. But Joe's got to be thinking to himself, it's one of three possibilities going on here. Either number one is, because Joe knows he's not that good. Either number one is Kevin just doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Number two, the guys behind me are really, really that bad. Or number three, I'm just a sacrificial lamb while these backups get better. I mean, that's only three possibilities I can think of what's happening in Kevin's mind, at least. Or if he really knows what's going on. Because Joe, I'm sure, doesn't realize he's playing as good as he thinks Kevin thinks he is. And that, I can't think of any other reason why you would put him out there week after week, unless this is a throwaway season like you guys have been talking about. Dan, thanks, I'll listen.
Dan, happy Browns Victory Monday there. I wouldn't be surprised if the idea of having a quick leash is in Joe's mind. And I think actually that's why Joe's erring on the side of conservatism when he goes out there and some of the decisions he makes, because I think he knows he might be one interception away. And I get, like, from the Brown side of the one interception he did have yesterday, it was basically a punt. I mean, he was at the end of the first half. It was not a great interception, but certainly not one like his interception was last week with Nate Wiggins. That said, if a guy's thinking about, I can't throw this interception because I have to prove to them that I can keep this job, you're probably already screwed.
Yeah, like your job's gone at that point.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with Joe for me is, okay, the whole reason Joe started, you can say it was, you know, basically to give the rookies time to get ready. The idea was that he was the quarterback that gave you the best chance to win, right? Like, mm-hmm. He was going to be, if they were going to win games this year, it was going to be with Joe. The problem is, like, the leash for Joe for me was determined on how quickly that ends. I don't know that the Browns' chances to win games this year has ended. Like, they mm-hmm. showed that this week. There's still an opportunity. The defense will keep you in that. I think the offense showed you this week, though, with Joe as quarterback, our opportunity to win games on the offensive side has come to an end. So what's the point of sticking with Joe and not going to a rookie that can basically, at the very least, put out the same offensive output? Like, I don't care which guy you go to. If it was Shador, if it was Dylan Gabriel, I am pretty confident you could get to a similar output, at least in the box score at the end of the game. That looks like it did this week.
Well, and with Quinshon going, like, if in the Ravens game, Quinshon had a moment or two, but he had one or two runs, and that kind of padded his stats a little bit to what he really did. If you had put Dylan in for a prolonged part of that game, you were screwing that kid. He didn't have a chance. Same thing with the Cincinnati game, because you had no way to move the ball. Now, with Quinshon running, really what you're looking for is, can he hit 25 or 30 passes? Can he take three or four shots down the field? And can he just not screw up? And, like, again, the three things that Dillon Gabriel has going for him. He doesn't throw turnovers. He's mobile. And he's supposed to read the defense really, really quickly so he can get the ball out quickly. Two of those three things are not happening right now. Three of those three things are not happening right now. Even if the turnover on Sunday wasn't egregious. Let's go with Nate in Cleveland. Nate, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hello, Cleveland. It's a big dog defense day. What an amazing defense that we just saw.
That was awesome, man. Happy Browns Victory Monday, by the way, Nate.
Yeah, this is my first time. I love Cleveland. 39, and you know, I just want to see something good happen. So I want to just talk about Joe. I think Dillon looks like the guy, but I want to just bring up the NFL speed and the things that are happening and what we're seeing. We're seeing better athletes. And I also want to just make the comment that Joe is a proven winner, and I think that we need to go with him and not freak out and do what we've done. We've been through 40 quarterbacks. So that's more of an emotional response. But, yes, I think Dillon may need to play here pretty soon.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you. Happy Browns Victory Monday there. The whole thing about being a proven winner is you have to keep proving it. And Joe has not proven. I know he had the five-game stretch in 2023. And it's so interesting. Like, so much of the conversation we're having is maybe about what Dillon might be able to do. I think it's about what Joe can't do. To me, this is not a praise of Dillon. I think there is a tremendous amount of risk going to a rookie, whether it's now or 4 weeks from now. I cannot tell you it's going to work. I just know this isn't working. Even with the Green Bay win, it's not working. And I don't, with a 40-year-old quarterback, I don't see Joe getting any quicker. I don't see Joe getting any more comfortable in what he's being asked to do because it's so counterintuitive to what his actual skill set is.
We're asking Dillon to be like not even average. You're just asking him to not turn the ball over again. Like the three things you highlighted that he is good at is basically what they're asking the quarterback to do right now. Move a little bit, complete the easy passes, get him out quickly. Like if there was fear that Dillon could not do that, I would imagine Kenny Pickett's probably on the roster right now or some other veteran quarterback would be on the roster right now. They wouldn't have made Dillon the backup if they didn't think there was a chance he could go and step in and do it. Again, it's not about, it is more about what Joe can't do, but there was clearly a skill set there from Dillon that he can operate the offense when the time comes. It's just, I think that time crept up on you a little quickly. But again, you made him the backup quarterback week one. You think there's something there. And when Joe's not giving you any of it, it's like, yeah, that leash needs to be, you know, sort of unhooked. You need to let Joe loose and go either help the rookies on the bench, or if you need to do the best by him and basically let Joe go, then so be it. But Joe is what Joe is, and he's shown that over 10 years. He hasn't been a proven winner. It's been a decade.
216-474-0092. Should the Browns have benched Joe Flacco during the game yesterday, and are they making the right decision staying with him going forward? And it was not just a win on the field for the Browns on Sunday. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I am pretty confident, though, that over the weekend we were confirmed and maybe assured of yet another Browns win, because Travis Hunter continues to overwhelm. Only two targets on offense. He did play 60%, or about 70% of the defensive snaps, but did not play well or grade out well. The Browns trade down, which includes Mason Graham, which includes the second round pick, which includes Dillon Sampson in a pick swap, and the future first rounder, continues to look better by the day. No disrespect to Travis. He was supposed to be a game changer, and through three games, Mason Graham's been the game changer, not Travis Hunter.
Yeah, so I don't know that I'd be willing to go as far as like, hey, the Browns have won this already. I don't think that they come out poorly in the trade because Mason Graham looks good, as I expected Mason Graham to look good, and is honestly outperformed.
I was going to say, I'm going to need more than good out of you because Mason Graham has looked like a stud.
Yeah, he's outperformed what I thought he was going to do, but I thought he was going to be a good player nonetheless, right? Like, I didn't think you were losing the trade one for one. And I also was out of the gate, like kind of against drafting Travis Hunter for the Browns specifically, because you were already trying to figure out so much this season that I feel like it's minimum a season-long project to take a player like Travis Hunter, a two-way guy, and try to figure out what that balance is going to be and how to translate it to something that actually helps your team. And I don't know that Jacksonville's doing it wrong right now. I think you're just kind of going through the ups and downs.
No, they are doing it wrong. I'll correct you on this. You think sorry, in my opinion. Wrong? Yeah, you know why? Because you should have let him start on one side of the ball, let him grow into that. In the second half of the season, you should have then added the other part of the ball. Trying to adapt to both corner and wide receiver, two of the tougher positions you can adapt to, going from the pros to college. We see guys fail who are busts on one side of the ball. Now you're trying to make him do two things at once. I get he wanted.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim. This is incredible.
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go. This time for real.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
There's artificial intelligence, then there's apartmental intelligence. Yep, it's a thing. Apartments.com knows how to find the exact place you have in mind. Want a 3-bedroom condo in a walkable downtown? Done. Or that single family home with a yard and a quiet neighborhood? Easy. With over 1 million rental listings, plus search tools that make moving simple, their apartmental intelligence can get you a place that gets you. Visit apartments.com, the place to find a place. I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what have you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com to start now.
Two, he's failing. Now, I'm not saying that will stop him from succeeding, but do I think you're slowing his growth, and do I think it's going to take him longer to be great at either one of those things where he is now? Yes. This right here, what we're seeing is exactly why I did want to draft Travis Hunter for the Browns, because if he wants to play both ways, the risk, I think, is exponentially great beyond just the injuries.
Yeah, I don't even know that. I mean, you have to put it on the Jaguars to some degree. I don't even know that's on them. Like, Travis yes. has been telling you, yes. I want to play both sides of the ball.
Who runs the team?
Yeah, you run the team. Okay. We've also seen...
But we live in this era where all of a sudden coaches have no say over what players do. We get that with the Browns all the time. It's like, no. It's the head coach is still one of the three most powerful people in the NFL, no matter whether they're a good head coach or bad head coach. I think what this was is they got their Jaguar first year on the job, and they want to drive it like a Jag. The problem is he just looks like a Jag, just another guy, in the words of Mark Schwab. Like I think you are hurting this kid, and it's not like Tommy Tough Guy. It's not like these organizations have just apparently stopped being able to have tough conversations with kids. Hey, I want to play both ways. I respect the fact you do. You will not be. You'll be starting on one side of the ball, and then we'll work you in the other as long as you're having success. Because you can have some success on wide receiver, and if you're failing as a DB, it's going to offset that confidence you're trying to build.
Now, I think
vice versa.
Like, there's a good point there. Obviously, is like he's not grading out well on either side of the ball right now. Like, whether he's playing corner or wide receiver, he's at best in some of these games playing them mediocrely, and hasn't done that at wide receiver yet. He's been He's had moments and glimpses as a corner from what I've seen. But, like, the idea that you're going to be a two-way player is the fact of, okay, I'm basically turning my offense-defense 22-man operation into 21, and you're supposed to be, you know, a stud either way, or at least good one way and great the other way, where it's like, if you're not doing it either, you're not helping me. And like, playing two ways is actually more detrimental to my team than it is helpful.
So I'll just tell you this. I don't need Travis Hunter to keep playing like this for the Browns to win this trade. You're winning because Mason Graham, as of right now, is the far better player. But even if Mason Graham and Travis Hunter was like an offset, you have Quinshon Judkins, who looks like a bell cow back. So you've got two starters to one player. And so that cancels out his two-way playerness and a future first. Like, I think you win this going away. Like, I think the only thing that can disrupt this is injury for either Quinshon or Mason Graham. Travis Hunter can live up to the hype from here, and if Mason Graham and Quinshon Judkins do what they've done early in their careers, this plus the first rounder, and the added value of Dylan Sampson, you run away with this, and it's not particularly close.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why we looked at the trade in the first place, and we're like, even if you love Travis Hunter, even if you refer to him as the Shohei Ohtani of football and thought he was going to be great both ways, it's like, can you really pass up on, you're downright getting three, basically first-round picks, extended out a couple of picks for one guy. Like, even if he's playing two ways, it's for one guy. Like, if you hit on two out of three of those, chances are you win, unless Travis Hunter ends up being, CeeDee Lamb as a wide receiver and prime Jalen Ramsey as a corner. Then you turn around and go, oh, that's not great, but the odds of that happening were low to begin with.
216-474-0092. How confident are you the Browns have already won the Travis Hunter trade down? It's getting real hard to stay humble about this one because it feels like such an overwhelming win. Let's go with Colin in Lakewood. I know you had something to say about the Browns quarterback situation.
Yeah, guys, how's it going?
Yeah, very well, buddy. We appreciate you. Happy Browns Victory Monday.
Happy Monday to you guys as well. Glad to be on with you. No, I think it's just circling back to the whole Flacco versus the rookie situation. If, the whole storyline about Flacco was, oh, well, he's going to give us the best chance to win games. And I understand publicly that's what the Browns and Stefanski all have to say. But then a lot of the media consensus was as well, oh, well, if you put the rookies out there, you're throwing them wolves, you're sacrificing them. And now all of a sudden it's 3 weeks in, and we're looking at, well, Joe Flacco, again, three out of three things aren't happening. You can point to Gabriel and even Sanders to some extent. What they offer differently for us to potentially win games, move the ball, and give the defense a chance, I think it really comes down to, are you focused on this season? I mean, you're going to tell me you feel confident challenging the Ravens for the division crown? Anyone here excited to play Buffalo in the playoffs? I'm certainly not looking forward to any of those prospects, at least not this season. I don't think it's likely. So it then comes down to next season. And if you're looking at next season, it all comes down to that draft. What is the purpose of those two first-round draft picks, especially our own? Now, good to hear about what's coming out of Jacksonville and, seeing them and their record and also winning that trade over the Hunter. But I think it really comes down to, are you here to win this season? Doesn't look likely. So you're here for next season. And if that's the case, I'm sure no one is chanting for another 0-16 season, but we got to look at the reality. Where does the math with the draft pick lie? So are you going to go with Flacco and continue status quo? Or are you throwing the rookies out there in hopes that you're going to win more games and you're lowering your draft stock? And again, what are you doing with those picks? Are we going to have another season where you have, what was it? Correct me if I'm wrong, 7 at one point quarterbacks during training camp?
That sounds about right. That sounds like the right number. It might have been 6. Could have been 7. Could have been 12.
Yeah. It's 6 or 7 quarterbacks. I mean, who are we drafting? I personally haven't heard any talk yet about any consensus or direction for where the Browns want to go with those two picks. But if you're looking at quarterback, that just even complicates this more. So I think as far as putting the rookies out there, yeah, I'd like to see them and see what they got before we potentially commit our capital next season to repeating the same song and dance over again for the summer.
Colin, we appreciate you, buddy. Again, happy Browns Victory Monday. I just want to come back to this idea that people act like at this point, going from Joe would be choosing trying to win and trying to gauge the future. I think that's something we said 3 weeks ago. I need a quarterback that's going to keep the offense competitive, and Joe isn't. I don't know definitively Dylan will be. I know this offense is better skilled towards his kind of skill set, which is kind of aiding this idea of going with him. I just think it's process of elimination. Joe is not keeping you competitive now. Your defense is, your special teams did yesterday and 2 weeks ago. They did yesterday. There's enough around you. Quinshon Judkins, there's enough around you to win with this recipe against good teams. Joe is not part of that recipe as of right now, and we're getting very, very early. Or sorry, it's getting very late early for Joe to keep having the opportunity to prove that. 216-474-0092. Is it too early to go to Dylan Gabriel, the lead, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim. This is incredible.
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go. This time for real.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers.
Oh!
Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Ever watch your pet sleep and wonder what they're dreaming about? Maybe it's them chasing a ball on a grassy field next to your new duplex, or catching the frisbee in front of your single family home. Or perhaps they're zooming around the kitchen of your open concept condo. Whatever their dream setting looks like, you can rest assured that you'll find the most pet-friendly rental listings on Apartments.com. The place to find a pet-friendly place.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.